bum 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 bum. Children give gifts, dance round the pine tree, remembering the birth of our Lord. Oh, cowboys ride horses, brand all the cattle, many a night, they're cold and alone. Cowboy checks water, fixes the fences, even a cowboy loves Christmas. Oh, winter snow brings cold and dampness. Creatures hide and burrow in. Cowboys warm their fingers near the fire and watch the snowflakes fall. Oh, families gather Christmas together, laughing and singing and spreading good cheer. Children give gifts, dance around the pine tree, remembering the birth of our Lord. Oh, cowboys ride horses, brand all the cattle, many a night, they're cold and alone. Cowboy drinks water, fixes the fence, but even a cowboy loves Christmas. Oh, church bells ring and greet the townfolk, bidding all a fond hello. Cowboys hear the careless far off singing out their voices wrong. Oh, families gather Christmas together, laughing and singing and spreading good cheer. Children give gifts, dance round the pine tree, remembering the birth of the Lord. Oh, cowboys ride horses, brand all the cattle, many a night, they cold and alone. Cowboys check water, fixes the fences, even a cowboy loves Christmas. But even a cowboy loves Christmas.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Merry Christmas. This is the last of our four performances and a time to continue to worship the Lord. Great music, and thank you for coming tonight. Stick around afterwards. You have some great desserts, and God bless you.
Baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy. I just want to sing this song to you. Emmanuel has come to earth, the Virgin Mary's given birth into a world that sings out hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. shepherds came to Bethlehem, expecting child. They searched the end, find a place for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed, Emmanuel and Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Stars shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were there, frankincense and golden myrrh they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
It's a privilege, once again, to invite Melissa up to sing. I've known her for a long time. A first chance we've had to worship together, and since a long time. I remember, I won't tell stories of the first time I remember her singing, but she was quite young, and former Miss California, and I appreciate your spirit in your voice.
Thank you. Oh, I'm getting applause already. I haven't started singing yet. Careful. But I am Melissa. I'm originally from Ukiah, so it's nice to be home. I was Miss California a really long time ago. But I think Even more special was being Miss Mendocino 15 years ago. So I'm a small town girl, even though I'm living in a big city. But I recognize that it took a village to raise me, and you are my village, so thank you. And it's just a pleasure for me to be home to celebrate the Christmas season with you. So I'm going to sing a few songs for you. It's been a long day, so I'm going to try to remember what I'm singing for you in the order in which I'm supposed to do it. But the first one is, O Come All You Faithful. And I will say, if at any point you want to sing along as well, please do. We can celebrate together in song. So this next one, while it might not be a traditional Christmas song, it is a wonderful, wonderful Christian hymn, and it's one of my favorites, and it's How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, and I will bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how this next one, traditional, so I know you can all sing with me. It's What Child Is This?
What child? To rest on me.
are too kind. Thank you. And while this might not be your traditional church Christmas song, it is one of my favorite Christmas songs, and it is the Christmas song. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if part of singing for y'all is bringing up Pastor Gary so we can do a duet.
My favorite part too.
I just wish that I had a costume on too. Next time. And this is Away in a Manger. Thank you.
Jesus, by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
You know, Martin Luther wrote that. Church has been singing that for over 500 years. And really, that's really, if you look back at the tradition of Christmas and its celebration, really the focal point of much of the celebration of Christmas has been the songs that the church has sung. That's just all for free. I asked the drama team many months ago, as we were planning for this time together, if they would do a scene from Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Not a typical thing you do at church, but there's a good reason for it, and you'll find out at the end. And so I want you to think about this as you're watching it. Can people really change? It's been one of the questions throughout all of history. Can people really change?
Tonight we present to you a scene in A Christmas Carol, where Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by the ghost of his old business partner, Jacob Marley. Mr. Dickens created a fantasy world with ghosts and spirits possessing the ability to travel back and forward in time. He did this to expose social and economic injustices in his time and to help his readers in any time understand how they should relate to their work, to their world. We start our story by reading an excerpt from the book. A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Stave 1, Marley's Ghost. Page 1. Marley was dead, to begin with. There was no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. Mind, I don't mean to say that I know of my own knowledge what there is particularly dead about a doornail. I might have been inclined myself to regard a coffin nail as the deadest piece of ironmongery in the trade. But the wisdom of our ancestors is in the simile, and my unhallowed hands shall not disturb it, or the country's done for. You will therefore permit me to repeat, emphatically, that Marley was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead. Of course he did. How could it be otherwise? Scrooge and he were partners for I don't know how many years. Scrooge was his sole executor, his sole administrator. his sole assign, his sole residuary legatee, his sole friend and sole mourner. And even Scrooge was not so dreadfully cut up by the sad event, but that he was an excellent man of business on the very day of the funeral, and solemnized it with an undoubted bargain. The mention of Marley's funeral brings me back to the point I started from. There was no doubt that Marley was dead. This must be distinctly understood, or nothing wonderful can come of the story I'm about to relate. If we were not perfectly convinced that Hamlet's father died before the play began, there would be nothing more remarkable in his taking a stroll at night in an easterly wind upon his own ramparts than there would be in any other middle-aged gentleman rashly turning out after dark in a breezy spot, say, St. Paul's Churchyard, for instance, literally to astonish his son's weak mind. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge, a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, screeching, clutching, covetous old sinner, hard and sharp as flint, from which no steel had ever struck out generous fire, secret and self-contained and solitary as an oyster. The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheek, stiffened his gait, made his eyes red, his thin lip blue, and spoke out shrewdly in his grating voice. A frosty rime was on his head and on his eyebrows and his wiry chin. He carried his own low temperature always about with him. He iced his office in the dog days and didn't thaw it out 1 degree at Christmas. Now, I will skip forward to page 9, where we find Scrooge in the counting house. His clerk, Bob Cratchit, in a dismal little cell, a sort of tank, was copying letters. Scrooge had a very small fire, but the clerk's fire was so very much smaller that it looked like one coal. But he couldn't replenish it, for Scrooge kept the coal box in his own room, and so surely as the clerk came in with the shovel, the master predicted that it would be necessary for them to part. Into this dismal scene, Scrooge's nephew comes to visit him and invite him over for Christmas dinner. "A Merry Christmas, Uncle! God save you!" cried a cheery voice. It was the voice of Scrooge's nephew, who came upon him so quickly that this was the first intimation Scrooge had of his approach.
"Bah! Humbug!"
"Christmas a humbug, Uncle?" said Scrooge's nephew. "You don't mean that, I am sure."
"I do. Merry Christmas! What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough."
"Come then," returned the nephew gaily. "What right have you to be dismal? What reason have you to be morose? You're rich enough."
"Ah, humbug."
"Don't be cross, Uncle," said the nephew.
"What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older, but not an hour richer. A time for balancing your books and having every item in them through a round dozen of months presented dead against you. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart, he should."
"Uncle!"
"Nephew! Keep Christmas in your own way. Let me keep it in mine."
"Keep it," replied Scrooge's nephew, "but you don't keep it."
"Let me leave it alone, then. Much good may it do you, much good it has ever done you."
"There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited, I dare say," returned the nephew. "Christmas among the rest, but I am sure I have always thought of Christmas time, when it has come around, apart from the veneration due to its sacred name and origin, if anything belonged to it can be apart from that, as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time, the only time I know of in the long calendar of the year, when men and women seem to be one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely, and to think of people below them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave, and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good and will do me good, and I say, God bless it." The clerk in the tank involuntarily applauded. Becoming immediately sensible of the impropriety, he poked the fire and extinguished the last frail spark forever.
Let me hear another sound out of you, Bob Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
The nephew regretfully leaves. His invitation for his uncle to come to Christmas dinner rejected. Scrooge begrudgingly grants Bob Cratchit Christmas Day off and locks up. We pick up our story again on page 19. His workday finished, Scrooge has arrived at his house and is preparing to retire to his bed. His evening has been interrupted by a disturbing episode where the face of his old partner Marley appeared on his door in the place of the door knocker. Feeling none too confident, he double locks his bedroom door.
Bah! Humbug. Humbug still. I won't believe it. I know him. It's Molly's ghost. Oh, wait. What do you want of me?
Much.
Oh, who are you then?
Ask me who I was.
Huh. Oh, who were you? You're rather particular for a shade.
In life, I was your partner. Jacob Marley. You don't believe in me?
No, I don't.
What evidence would you have of my reality beyond that of your senses?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Oh, because a little thing affects them. A small, slight digestive problem causes them to cheat. You could be an undigested bit of beef. A blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese. You could be a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of grave about you, sir. Whatever you are, humbug, I tell you, humbug! Mercy! Dreadful apparition! Why do you trouble me?
Men of the worldly minds. Do you believe in me or not?
Oh, I must. I do. I must. But why do spirits roam the earth? Oh, why do they trouble me? Oh.
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world. Oh, woe is me! And witness what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth, and turn to happiness.
You're fettered. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was full, as heavy and as long as this, 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain.
Oh, Jacob. Jacob Marley. Speak comfort to me, Jacob. Please speak comfort to me.
I have none to give. Oh. It comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge, and is conveyed by other ministers to other kinds of men. Nor can I tell you what I would. A very little more is all permitted to me. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger anywhere. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house. Mark me! In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hall. And weary journeys lie before me.
You must have been rather slow about it, Jacob.
Slow?
Well, 7 years dead and traveling all the time.
The whole time. No rest, no peace. Incessant torture of remorse.
And you travel fast.
On the wings of the wind.
Well, then you've probably gotten quite a bit of ground covered in 7 years' time.
Oh, captive, bound, and double ironed. Not to know that ages of incessant labor by immortal creatures. For this earth must pass into eternity before the good of which it is susceptible is all developed. Not to know that any Christian spirit working kindly in its little sphere, whatever it may be, will find its mortal life too short for its vast means of usefulness. Not to know that no space of regret can make amends for one's life's opportunity misused. Yet, such was I, oh, such was I.
But Jacob, you were always such a good man of business.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. At this time of the rolling year, I suffer most. Why did I walk through crowds of fellow beings with my eyes turned down and never raise them to that blessed star which led the wise men to a poor abode? Were there no poor homes to which its light would have conducted me? Hear me, my time is nearly gone.
I will, Jacob, but don't be harsh with me. Don't be flowery. Pray, Jacob, please.
How it is that I appear before you in a shape that you can see, I may not tell. I have sat invisible beside you many and many a day. That is no light part of my penance. I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and a hope of escaping my fate. A chance and a hope of my procuring, Ebenezer.
Oh, you were always such a good friend to me, Jacob.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
Is that the hope and chance you spoke of?
It is.
Oh, I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one.
Oh, couldn't I have all three of them all at once and be done with it, Jacob?
Expect the second on the next night at the same hour. The third upon the next night when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. Look to see me no more, and look that for your own sake, you remember what has passed between us.
Queremos, Señor, gozarnos en tu presencia.
Voices from beyond the grave.
The three spirits did appear, as promised. The ghost of Christmas past showed Scrooge scenes from his life, happier times, but tinged with sadness. That made Scrooge the man he was. The ghost of Christmas present showed Scrooge heartbreaking scenes of the world as it currently was, especially scenes of Bob Cratchit's family and Tiny Tim, who is very ill and will die without medical care. Medical care that they can't afford because Scrooge pays his employee such a miserly salary. The ghost of Christmas future showed Scrooge his lonely grave. Scrooge, unloved, unmourned, and ridiculed. He wakes the next morning to find that it is still Christmas and that he has a chance to change himself and the tragic future he had been shown. And change he did. He had dinner with his nephew and sent a turkey the size of Tiny Tim to the Cratchits. The next morning, he went to the office and surprised Bob Cratchit.
A Merry Christmas, Bob! A Merrier Christmas, Bob, my good fellow, than I've given you in for many a year! I'll raise your salary. I'll endeavor to assist your struggling family, and we'll discuss your affairs this very afternoon. Over a Christmas bowl of smoking Bishop Bob. Make up the fires. Buy another coal scuttle before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew. Or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. It was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that truly be said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
I can't remember the first time I saw A Christmas Carol. It's probably in San Francisco at one of the theaters there. I've seen it many, many times. In fact, one of the reasons I wanted the drama team to do it is because there's a message in the core of it that is really the question of all mankind. Is it, can we change? Or do we care? Dickens was born in 1812. He died in 1870. Clearly, the debate's gone on of who's the greatest impact on English literature, whether it was Shakespeare or Dickens. I'm a Dickens guy. Dickens has been criticized for not being quite Christian enough. He grew up in a church family of the Church of England. His father though they started off well, would get into debt and would go to debtor's prison. He would look around him and see the squalor of the cities, the haves and the have-nots, and it would be during those times that he would write some of the greatest novels of the English language, Tale of Two Cities, the Best of Times and the Worst of Times. It seems like most of the stories are really redemption stories. Something's broken. There's bitterness, there's anger, there's resentment, there's poverty, there's want. In A Christmas Carol, we're struck by the fact that you have a man whose name is Ebenezer Scrooge. What a strange name. I don't know many people who would call their child Ebenezer or Scrooge. And so, interesting enough, when you look at the name Ebenezer Scrooge, it is in fact a contradiction. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, we're told the story of the Ark of the Covenant that has been stolen by the Philistines. They didn't have much luck with it, and so ultimately Israelites got it back. And Samuel, the great prophet, would set up a stone, and they would call that stone an Ebenezer, a memorial stone. The stone meant God helped us here. So here's a guy's name is God helped us here, but his last name is Scrooge. And even before the time of Dickens, Scrooge was someone who was miserly and a cheapskate and, you know, tight-fisted. So at the beginning of this play, his name was a contradiction. And in the midst of it, he is visited by a ghost. When questioned about that, Dickens said, well, the thing that inspired him was the parable of Jesus of Lazarus and the rich man. You may remember the rich man said, hey, can I send one of my family members to warn them? And that's just not how it works. And so ultimately, we realize that this play itself is a bit of a parable. But it brings up this massive question, can people change? I've told my story a bunch of times, and I'll tell it again, because it's my story to tell. God's a gift. I grew up going to church. Grandparents, great-grandparents, mom and dad were Sunday school teachers and sang in the choir. And so that's what I did. Earliest memories of my life were being in church. Praise God for that. But when I got to my teenage years, I began to try to walk on two paths. The path that my family was on, upstanding citizens, kind, gentle, courteous. And the path that was trying to lead me to some level of popularity or whatever I was striving for in my high school years. If there was something cool to be at, I wanted to be invited. Ultimately, my goal was I would be the person who would be the life of the party. Man, it can't happen unless Gary's there. And I was an athlete, I was a musician, whatever it would take. And I would find that excitement because I wanted to be in the center of things. I didn't want to be left out. And so I would find a party up by Talmadge Dams or out by the lake or up someplace in Redwood Valley someplace, and I don't even know how I got home sometimes. It's a scary thing. Some of my friends didn't get home. And as I've shared the story, each of these performances, it was the last day of the year, 1973, was my birthday, December 31st. I went to a party. I came home, and determined that I was just going to drink until I was drunk. And I was a 16-year-old. In fact, just turned 16. That morning, Marley didn't show up with his chains. The ghost of Christmas, past, present, and future didn't show up. But you know who showed up? The Holy Spirit of God. I can't really explain it. It wasn't like there was an audible voice, but I just knew in my soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and the Spirit of God began to speak to me. Where are you heading, Gary? Not dissimilar to Marley telling his friend Ebenezer, where are you going? Man, you've already made chains that are going to bind you. And this may seem like a cliche, but this is what happened. It's like my life passed before me. I would find out later that my great-grandfather would have his life cut short because of wrestling with alcohol. My grandfather would have to go drag him out of the Buckhorn Saloon in Covelo every so often. All these things passed before me, and I was scared. And I fell down in the front room of my house in 925 West Stanley Street in Ukiah. And I cried out this very simple prayer. Jesus, if you're there, please save me. And no one's going to write that down. There's no book of First Gary and Second Gary or anything like that. But that's in my book. That was the day I got my Ebenezer. That was the day that God said, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. It tells us in Peter that God doesn't wish any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Friends, here's the difference between my theology and I can only guess to the theology of Dickens. We cannot make it on our own. Just can't do it. All the attempts of AA and different groups to help people, I praise God for them. But ultimately this, it is God's grace and power that allows us to change. It really is as simple as ABC. We see this around here. The A is we admit that we're wrong. We admit our need for God. We admit we're a sinner. Even that itself, the Lord has to do. Because if we're dead and we're not conscious, it's the Spirit of God who convicts us of these things. Isn't that good? It's like your kid playing on the freeway. Is it wrong for the parent to say, hey, you're in danger? No, God reaches and tells us. He gives us the power to turn, and that's what repentance is. The next step is we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross, God himself came. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again. It's the repentance that comes and the strength that comes based upon the power of the resurrection. As I share every Sunday, but even the devil knows that. So what's the next step? I must confess and surrender. I confess that he is king and I'm not. He's Lord. He's my Savior and my Lord. That's what Dickens was missing. Maybe he believed that, but he didn't write it down. It's a little bit ambiguous. And here's what I have to say, that in our own lives, whatever you're going through now, there may be the most deepest challenges, body, soul, and spirit. You need to know the hope that you have is because the power and the grace of God is still available in any and every situation. He desires us to be at peace. He desires us to have joy. He desires us to be content in whatever circumstances we are. And that comes from Him. Doesn't come from our determination. Doesn't come because we got great DNA. It comes because the grace of God is available to every man, woman, and child. And that's why we can say Merry Christmas. Amen. Well, it's been a great evening. Like Melissa to come up, she's going to sing. It's hard to say what's the best Christmas song ever, right? But this was it. This is probably it. All right. So here you go.
Oh Holy Night. You can't have a Christmas service without Oh Holy Night.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul
All right. I'd like to invite all the cast and anyone who sang tonight, come on up here. We're going to sing Joy to the World. I want to thank everyone for and the tech guys and everyone setting up and all the manger scenes and the creches. What a beautiful, beautiful weekend of services it's been. All right. Let's sing. Let's stand together and sing. Remember, you got dessert right afterwards. But before we sing, I want you to remember this. Ebenezer Scrooge, his name changed. It was no longer a contradiction. Now he was, in fact, he was a changed person. This is our desire, that we would live our lives like an Ebenezer. People would look at our lives and wonder why we're different. They would see Jesus in our lives. Let's sing. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful weekend we've had of worship. Lord, we thank you that you are the one and you alone that provides the power and the resource and the grace to change. Lord, as we look at our lives and the challenges before us, we just thank you that we have hope because you're there and you love us. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the gift of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray in his precious name. Amen. Merry Christmas. God bless you.
Hearts unfold like flowers before.
Don't forget, grab some dessert next door. If, in fact, you don't have time, you grab it anyway and take it home. Take two home. Take three home, because it would be great to have someone be blessed by the desserts. Amen.
Lord of heaven and earth, Mary, Joseph, lend your aid. With us sing our Savior's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
greater grace was ever known, no greater love was ever seen. We set our hearts on pilgrimage, we're caught up in your story too. From Bethlehem to Calvary, our hearts will always follow you. How
backing off the promise. Come, oh come, Emmanuel. A light of glory filled the sky, and we heard the angel cry.
late one night that Herod sought the king, but could not take his life.